Okay, so what a lovely start we've had this morning, and it's a great platform for us to just come and share with you. And as Rich said, this morning's going to be slightly different because Nick and I would like to share our testimonies of how Nikki became a Christian and how I've been used by God to disciple her and to help her grow and mature spiritually. This is what's been on my heart at the moment because God's been speaking to me about the whole area of discipleship and intentionally coming alongside people to show them God's love. And it's been such a joy and a privilege to have been on this journey with Nikki. And it's made me hungry to do it again. And I would love to see all of us doing something similar. And as the church grows, we need to be ready and willing to commit to coming alongside people to introduce them to God and help them grow spiritually. And it's something that's also on Pastor Rich's heart. And so he's asked us to share our story to hopefully inspire you and encourage you. So let me first give a quick introduction. We are all ambassadors for Jesus. We're his representatives here on earth. God has blessed us so that we can bless others. It's not about keeping our Christianity to ourselves, but intentionally wanting to share it with the good news that we've received about Jesus with those we meet, whether it is introducing them to Christ or encouraging them on their own spiritual journey. Last year, I believe God spoke to us and we saw and understood that this is for that. But now I think God is saying to us, go and make disciples. Get out there and share the gospel. Do it intentionally. So to be intentional is to have a plan and a purpose to do something. And to make a disciple is about coming alongside the lost and to be ready to share the gospel with them, teach them God's ways so that they themselves mature as Christians and then in turn are ready to themselves go out and make disciples. I feel it's intentionally starting the day, asking God to use me wherever he wishes, to ask him to show me whose heart he's softening and preparing it this time, and how I may encourage them and come alongside them and support them. It may be a one-off interaction with a stranger, and Danielle Strickland shared a lovely testimony on how her plane got delayed for 5 hours. And once she'd got over the frustration of being delayed, she recognised it was part of God's plan and purpose, and ask God to show her what it was that she needed to do. And to cut a long story short, she sat next to someone on the plane who she led to the Lord. And whilst collecting their luggage at the end of the flight, he admitted to her that he had decided to commit suicide that night. But because of what Danielle had shared, he wasn't going to do that anymore. Isn't that amazing? More often than not, though, for us, I feel it's about developing a relationship with people, practically showing them God's love and helping them to feel loved and cared for first. This takes an investment of our time but has great rewards. And according to research, 50% of conversions do actually happen this way. So, for example, I'm intentionally praying for my neighbour at the moment. We can go for months without seeing each other. But since New Wine, when I've been praying intentionally for her, I've already met with her about 6 times. It's happening. She came to me for advice on a health issue. I invited her to our wedding anniversary celebration. And I know that they like to go for a walk, and so we invited them out for a walk one evening. It may only seem like small things, but it's a start to building that relationship and trust. And I'm looking forward now to the next opportunity I have to chat. And my intention is to ask if she has any needs that she would like me to pray about. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So discipleship also involves coming alongside a Christian friend who needs support and encouragement, either in a one-off situation or intentionally on a more regular basis, like with prayer partners, or as I've done with Nikki. And as a church, many of us are doing this already, and it's such a joy when we see fruit from it. Many of you know what it feels like when God speaks to you and drops something on your heart about someone or a situation. And so you go to that person and they share a need and you stand with them in prayer. They feel blessed and cared for, and you feel thrilled that God has used you. And maybe no one else in the room knows anything about it, but you know you've done business with God and it's made a difference. And I believe God wants to use us more in these ways, and I wish to encourage you to be more intentional about doing it. So wherever we are in our own Christian walk, we can all learn from an older Christian or help someone younger in their faith when we take time to share and build relationship with them. So as Nikki and I share our story, you'll be amazed at how wonderfully God has prepared the way for Nikki to become a Christian. The attention to detail that happened so that we were both in the right place at the right time. How our friendship developed and how God has enabled me to help her grow as a Christian. And how her life has been transformed and the peace and purpose she now has. And the desire to lead others to Christ. So firstly, we need to be in the right place at the right time, walking closely with God. So for me in our story, this was about discerning between what was a good place to be in and what was the best place. 6 months before Nikki joined our department at work, I had considered leaving the unit. I went to an open day at Emerson's Green Treatment Centre and was offered a job. It was attractive and I had to think very carefully about it. I sought wise counsel from Pastor John and Pastor Richard, but eventually decided not to move. Had I have left, I would not have met Nikki. And I remember saying to God, if you want me to stay there, there must be a reason and a purpose. I had no idea he was positioning me so my path would cross with Nikki. So it's amazing how circumstances also led Nikki to come to our workplace. And I'll let her share how that's happened.
I didn't have a Christian upbringing, although our family celebrated Easter and Christmas. We had some nuns living down in Lodge Causeway, which I was always fascinated with and really did feel their peace. And I always thought I might end up a nun. And I always enjoyed attending Sunday school with the Girls' Brigade. I loved the stories about Jesus. I loved singing Tell Me the Stories of Jesus. And for my girl guides, I used to attend Sunday services. Always filled me with a great peace. And because I was ignorant why I was feeling that way, I didn't pursue it. So I didn't go further forward with my Christian path then. I was always attracted to nature, and as I grew older, I was more ensnared in the world, and it was a natural progression for me to follow a pagan goddess path. And I was right into my heavy metal music, rock and roll, some of the horrible lyrics in some of the words. But I just loved the guitar, and I loved hearing it, and that's the music that attracted me. So that was my first real experiences with following a spiritual path, okay. Really.
So how, Nikki, did you come to our workplace?
So initially, I was, back in 2012, March 2012, my brother Adrian died, age 40, of a heart attack in London. I went into a very deep depression, had a year isolating, trying to heal, following different paths of religion. And I prayed to God for the strength and ability to communicate my feelings to Matron and tell her that I didn't want to go back to the mixed speciality surgical ward that I was in charge of. I prayed for the right department and that they wouldn't have any drug rounds, because the drug rounds used to take up to 2 hours some days. And it was just very overwhelming, giving out 20 drugs to elderly folk. I spoke to Matron. And I was successful, and I was moved to the endoscopy unit, which didn't have drug rounds, which was my main prayer, and it was answered. Praise God.
Great. So we don't know where people are in their journey with God. Nick's auntie and grandmother had been praying for her for 40 years for her salvation. So never give up on your prayers, in God's timing, they will be answered, and I'm so glad that they kept praying. When I first met Nick, I had no idea he was searching for God and how God might use me, but I was in that right place at that right time, being willing to be used. So let's see people as God sees them. Everyone who doesn't know God is spiritually lost. Family, friends, colleagues, and strangers. They're all loved by God, and he sees them as beautiful children that are lost and need to be found. He also sees us Christians as beautiful and dearly loved children who also need encouragement and support and a brother to come alongside and help them. Nick and I have very different backgrounds, but I saw a lost and a hurting person, and I believe Jesus gave me compassion for her, and so I befriended her. And as a new member of staff, I came alongside her, not only to show her the ropes, but I also took an interest in her life outside of work. Nikki, how did our friendship help you?
Well, being nurses, you have to be approachable and caring, and I saw that in Helen. But also, I saw a calmness and a peace. She wasn't very easily rattled, and she was someone with an awareness around her emotions, stability. And Jesus, yes, I saw Jesus in Helen.
Great.
Compassionate and showed an interest, spent a time getting to know me. Our family was absolutely reeling from Adrian's death, and Helen gave me a hope that I could have that peace too.
Lovely. We need to be prepared to step out and be bold and intentional to talk about our faith and let the Holy Spirit do the work. At church, during the time when Nick first joined us, we'd been encouraged to ask our friends and colleagues and family to consider sponsoring a child for the School for Kids project. My work colleagues already knew I was a Christian and went to church, but for me to ask them to sponsor a child was actually a big deal for me, and it took me courage. But one morning, I intentionally decided I would do it. And so I was very brave, and I brought the subject up and asked if anyone wanted to sponsor a child. I honestly didn't know what response I would get, but I was prepared to give it a go. Following that conversation, to my great surprise, Nick said, "Our church sounded great. Could she come along?" I certainly wasn't expecting that. Remember, if you do your bit, the Holy Spirit does the rest. Nick, what went through your thinking when you heard that conversation about the church and the School for Kids project?
Well, the caringness of the church was what struck me mostly. The fact they were doing things out of their area in order to help other people in the world was just amazing. I've been searching God for many years in different places and got myself into a lot of situations. And I've been watching God TV for years, and through the grace of God, I've been sober since 2006, when God supernaturally removed my desire to drink alcohol. And in that beginning, I attended an AA group, a home group, got a sponsor, and worked the 12-step program. One preacher I watched a lot on God TV was Joyce Meyer, and she had such conviction of faith, and she was always saying, "Get yourself involved in a church, meet with other believers, it will strengthen your faith. Get involved, get serving." And so I decided I would do that, yeah. And I came with you.
And that was so great. When she first said that she wanted to come, it was such a thrill and excitement for me to bring Nikki along. Never underestimate the presence of God. We perhaps take it for granted, and sometimes we become a bit familiar with the presence of God, but for a non-Christian entering the church this morning, they would have just been hit with the presence of God, just like Nikki was on the morning that she came to church. It's often tangible, it's real, it's attractive, and people want it. Nick was already actively searching for God a long time before I met her, and she'd also tried many different religions. But it wasn't until she came to our church and tangibly felt that presence of God she knew she'd found what she had been looking for. What was that first church service like for you, Nick?
Well, wow is the word I would use. 5th of January, Epiphany. Yes, Epiphany happened for me, definitely. As soon as I got out of the car and I walked in, I heard Amazing Grace, which was my saving hymn, you know, Amazing Grace. And that was just felt so right in my heart. And the being in the church, I definitely felt the presence of God. I felt God's power. Everyone was welcoming, happy, interested, caring, and modern songs and music. The praise worship band and everyone worshiping the Lord was so overwhelming. It was like no other church service I've ever been to. I felt like I belonged. I wanted to come back and join and just be with the fellowship with people praising and believing. It was amazing. And when I got home, I did the salvation prayer again. And I really did feel that time. I mean, I've been doing it every day and following God TV for the last few years. Every week I would probably say this. I used to call it the sinner's prayer, the salvation prayer, about, you know, nearly every day if I could. And it was just absolutely amazing. It changed my life.
So becoming a Christian for Nikki was definitely life-changing. I could see it. She was hungry and eager to know more about God right from the word go. She was full of questions that we just didn't have time or opportunity to discuss at work. So we agreed to meet once a week to specifically pray and Bible study together so she could learn more. Nikki has developed over the years many habits and thoughts and beliefs that were not in line with God's teaching, and she was ignorant of God's word through no fault of her own. But as we talked through daily challenges and responses to situations, I was able to share God's perspective on issues. I think for some of us who've been a Christian a long time, we forget people just don't know God's perspective on issues and so do what the world is telling them, as that is the loudest voice they hear. As Christians, our voices need to be intentionally louder. We should be looking for opportunities to share God's love and ways to a people who are searching for direction. God is slowly changing and shaping Nikki, and I'm standing with her in prayer and helping to keep her on track while that happens. Some things change almost in an instant, others are taking much more time, but our friendship will continue for many years to come, God willing, and we will continue to be a support to each other. This is discipleship. Some may call it mentoring or coaching. It's not a new thing. There are many examples in the Bible. Moses discipled Joshua, Elijah discipled Elisha, Barnabas discipled Paul discipled Timothy, older women discipled younger women. And Jesus himself, of course, discipled the disciples. He spent quality time with them, teaching them through everyday experiences and teaching them God's word and how to put it into practice. And so to help Nick understand God's teaching and the Bible more clearly, we intentionally went through the Purpose Driven Life study book. It did take time and commitment and effort on both our parts, but we did it each week and it was well worth it. Nick was growing fast and I needed to keep up. What was that like for you, Nikki, when we met up?
Well, it was amazing to have someone to talk to about my faith, and the purpose-driven life is just so well written, and we used to study it every week. We also did a big study on the Lord's Prayer weekly, and it was really supportive to have someone to talk through life situations. Life's not always rosy, and it's lovely to have someone to talk to about that. But one of the main things was that our conversations made me realise that I did need to be baptised. And that was amazing to realise that and to know that, you know, we were doing all the right things to get me baptised. Helen was always really open, and ultimately, though, we developed... So we used to sort of like, there's a few scriptures that we always used to say, like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he living in me that lives in the world. And we just, we supported each other really. And it was important that we did that. Yeah.
Very special times, definitely. Life is short for some of us, and we don't know what's around the corner. Just think back to your own journey and how you came to faith. Who had the most influence over you? Was it a close family member or a friend? Maybe it was a stranger. But I want to encourage you that we need to tell our family and friends about God, as we have the best opportunities to speak into their lives. They may not hear it from anybody else. So be asking God to give you opportunities to share with them, and be prepared to do it. Be intentional. We're all good at putting things off and waiting for that perfect moment. The best moment might well be now. We're told in scriptures that we've been born for such a time as this, and God has prepared work for us to do in advance. So let's intentionally be asking God what that work is and do it. According to research by Christian Crusaders, people often don't need to be convinced that they need Jesus in their lives. They just need to be shown how. Like Nikki, everyone has a God-shaped hole in their lives and are looking for something to fill it. People are looking for a purpose for living. And through bereavement and illness, Nikki has grasped this urgency and has now found a purpose for living. Can you tell us about that, Nick?
Yeah, so before I got my job at endoscopy, a few days before I started, I had a brain aneurysm. I had to have an operation. I had to have a platinum coil put in my head. And I ended up getting very ill and having to go to ICU. One of the side effects of the surgery and the illness was double vision, which I had for 6 weeks. And whilst I was very ill, I had a dream encounter with my younger brother, which I believed was God-directed. And because I thought I was in heaven. And he said, "You can't come yet, Nick. God's got a plan for your life." And the facts are, Adrian died in 2012, unsaved, aged 40. I nearly died, but I got another chance and to get saved. God gave me the grace and the strength to nurse my mother, who was dying of cancer, age 68. Thank God I was able to lead her and give her, and she gave her heart to Christ. So moving forward, we don't know what life will bring. I am now more aware of how precious and fleeting life is, and how we need to make the most of every opportunity to share God's love to the people we meet. I read my Bible every morning. I know this is medicine to heal my mind. And God will speak to me through my Bible, or maybe through other people and situations. I try to be obedient to God's word. I understand the importance of giving financially towards our church to help those in need. And I'd like to end with a quote from Jeremiah, actually, if that's okay. So Jeremiah 29:11, which I wasn't aware of before I had this dream encounter. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, plans to give you a future and hope. Then you will call upon me, and I will and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." And also, I just want to say these words that we sang actually last week from Hosanna. And it's, "Heal my heart and make it clean. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you have loved me. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause. As I go from nothing to eternity." Praise God. Thank you.
Oh, praise God. I just thank God for Nikki. You know, she's been such an inspiration to many of us here. And, you know, I just love for all of us to experience something like I've done with Nick. You know, it's a God-given divine appointment that we met, and it's just been beautiful. Well done, Nick. So just to encourage you, just as naturally as we grow and mature and are ready to reproduce and have children, so it happens in the spiritual too. Nikki is now feeling ready to disciple someone herself. 3 years down the line, she's a strong Christian. Yes, there's still battles that she has to face, but she knows she's an overcomer and God has the victory. She is now ready to disciple someone of her own and is witnessing to family and neighbours with the intention of winning them for Christ. She's always prepared to pray for work for colleagues at work, more so than me. If a colleague says she's not well, Nick's straight there. She pulls out her Robbie Dawkins little card that I gave her and prays it over them. My prayer for Nick is she will accomplish all that God has for her in her life, and that she would have a double portion of what God's given me, that she will pray more, see more, and experience more of God's power than I will ever see. It's been a great journey for both Nikki and myself, and it's not finished yet, but we're both ready to do it again with whoever God leads us to. So just in conclusion, we need to be in the right place. We need to see people as Jesus sees them. We need to be willing and available to be used by God. We need to be prepared to be bold and to step out. God will never let you down. And I have a lovely testimony on this point. One of the seminars I went to at New Wine, we were given some homework to do, which was to intentionally offer to pray for a stranger and ask if they had any needs or concerns. Apparently, very few people say no. Yes, it was really scary, but I thought I'd give it a go, with the assumption that actually at New Wine, most people were probably Christians anyway. But God was so gracious and so encouraging to me. And all the way back from the seminar, I was looking out for possible people I could pray for. And everyone seemed to be either in a group or in a hurry. And I eventually got to the site and I thought, gosh, my time's running out. If I don't do it now, I'm going to miss an opportunity. And so I looked around and I saw a lady walking by herself. So I politely asked if I could practice something on her I'd learnt at the seminar. She agreed. So I asked her, is there any needs or concerns you have that I can pray for you today? And she was absolutely astonished and she said, is this for real? Are you really serious or are you just pretending? No, I said, it's for real. I'm very happy to pray for you. And her reply almost left me speechless. She said, I'm going through treatment for breast cancer and it's tough and I don't know what my future holds. I couldn't believe it. Having been in a similar place 8 years ago, I knew exactly where she was coming from and what she was experiencing, and so I could pray accordingly. It was amazing. And yes, I now feel encouraged to do it again. God will never let us down. He goes before us and prepares the way. And if you're willing, God will use you. But we do have to be intentional, and God will do the rest. Now, these encounters don't happen every day or even every week, but be on the lookout for them. And when it does, it may be the start of something special like Nikki and I have experienced. The difference now is because of what God's spoken to me in this whole area about being intentional and discipleship, I believe I'm now more open and ready and feel more prepared for when God gives me another divine appointment. And just remember, lastly, it's a three-way process. It's God, it's us, and it's them. Only God can prepare their hearts. But we need to be willing to step out and be God's ambassador. Only they can decide their response. You can't change their hearts. You can't control how they respond. But you can and must do your part for there to be any chance of success and for God to use you. Be willing to be God's mouthpiece and be Jesus to the people we meet. So our encouragement to you is don't just drift through into the next season, but to be intentional about wanting to be used by God and sharing his love. We can all do it. So let's go and make a disciple.